Our first scripture comes from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, Luke 21, 25 through 36. Hear the word of the Lord. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things take place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come preparing our homes, our lives, our families for the coming of Christmas. But we ask, O Lord, that you will be with us and help us to appreciate the time of preparation before. Help us to walk slowly, prepare our lives and ourselves for the coming of your Son. May your word this day help us in that preparation. Help us to prepare for Christmas, to prepare ourselves through Advent, and be ready to stand before our Lord when the day does come. In your name we pray. Amen. Be prepared. Be on guard. This is the call of Jesus as we begin our celebration of Advent. Get ready and make ready, because at any moment, the moment, might happen. Now, back when I was a kid, about 14, there was a great song. Many of you who have children my age or even grandchildren my age know or probably have heard this song. It's part of the movie The Lion King. In the movie, Scar, the evil uncle, decides that he's going to execute a plan and prep his evil allies, the hyenas. So he sings this little ditty. The line that I'd like you to pay particular attention to is, "Prepare for the chance of a lifetime. Prepare for sensational news. A shiny new era is tiptoeing near." I don't have the hyenas to do the call and response, but you get the drift. It goes on and on, but you get the point. Perhaps you had to listen to it again and again and again, like most parents and grandparents have to with kids in movies. Our villain, in his own catchy way, is calling on his followers to make ready, be prepared. Now, we aren't strangers to being prepared. After all, most of us travel, we go to meetings, we make ready, we decorate for holidays. Now, I particularly like to be prepared. One of my neuroses is that I will literally have Google Maps out before the trip about a week ahead of time, and I will go through every road change along the way. I'll know how the road goes and bends and weaves because my navigator, bless her soul, is not the best navigator in the world. And I don't have the relationship with Siri where I trust Siri completely. Now, most trips and preparations go like so. The first step is you actually plan the trip, set it up. You secure lodgings, you budget for the trip. Then, as the day gets closer, you pack your bag. If you have kids or a grouchy husband, you pack snacks for the trip. Sometimes, as I said, the driver will pore over the maps constantly, almost way too much. And then you gas up the car, you load up the bags, and you hit the road. Preparation takes time. You don't just throw your things into a bag, or at least you shouldn't. Advent and the coming of Christmas is one of the two times of the year where we have the opportunity to make ready, to get ready. You have Ash Wednesday and the rest of Lent to prepare yourselves for the day of resurrection. The small time of preparation, those 40 days, is to get ready for Easter, not just buying all the stuff for Easter baskets. Black jelly beans are the best, by the way. Today, we have 23 more days before Christmas is here. Three more Sundays, and it will be upon us. The time to get ready, to make ready, to get prepared has arrived. But it isn't just about getting ready, is it? Being prepared is never just that easy. It's about the why of getting prepared. In the short term, what we're doing is we're getting our lives and ourselves ready for Christmas. If you're like Sarah and I, the majority of our decorations are already up. Maybe it's a carryover from my childhood, where the day after Thanksgiving went a little like this. My mother was sadistic, we'll say. At 8 o'clock in the morning, her insidious plan went into action. You might say, what's insidious about preparing for Christmas? And I'll tell you. She decided that the speakers needed to be cranked up to the full volume. Now, picture a surround sound system, if you will, with 3 or 4 foot speakers. Blaring, Grandma got run over by a reindeer at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, you've had your tryptophan day, you've eaten your fill of turkey, and you're a teenager. And the song keeps on going, because she put it on repeat. I don't know why I ever taught her that. But it kept on going until you all came downstairs. And then preparations went more like this. The music got turned off. The girls would sit down with Mom and talk over the house plan. Rob and I would go downstairs, get all the boxes up from the basement. Then Rob and I would go outside and put up all the outdoor decorations, taking our time, mind you, because when you were finished, you had to help. And then the house would be done, almost. The next day, on Saturday, we would load up the cars and go to the red flannel Christmas tree farm, where we'd have to find that perfect tree, which was usually the first tree. And about 10 trees later, we finally remembered where it was, and we told Mom, how about that one? We'd cut it down, load it up, drive it back home. We'd put it up in the living room, making sure it was absolutely perfectly straight, and it never was. And then we'd put up the lights, and then the ornaments, and then make ourselves scarce, because then came the time for tinsel. We learned our lesson on how you don't have to do tinsel. You take it and throw it at the tree and walk away. And Mom will never ask you to do it again. The fact is, that was how we got ready. And then we would wait for the rest of the days to pass. Rob and I are not patient people, never probably will be. And so we had to wait. Excruciatingly wait. We were ready, or so we thought, for Christmas. But we weren't really ready to wait. Jesus gives us some very helpful instructions in this passage. First, it is to not make a mistake that we are getting ready. We might be a little surprised that we're already in Advent. It does kind of sneak up on us, doesn't it? We might also be surprised at what our passage is. After all, we are reading from the end of Luke's gospel and not the beginning. We're reading about the end of Jesus' life and ministry and not the beginning. But it's a great opportunity to remember. Jesus prepares his disciples for the time he will come again. He calls on them to wait, perhaps not patiently if you pay attention to Peter, but to wait. Earlier in the scriptures, Jesus lists off certain events that are supposed to predate his coming again. Now, often we get caught up in signs and things like that. Who could blame us? They're great events. He lists off storms, earthquakes, seismic events, distractions that will happen. But in the meantime, what can we do? The real focus here is not on the signs, but what happens as the signs go on. The preparation, because the signs just say that at some point, Jesus will return. It tends to be like that moment in the car trip with kids. You know, you go a little ways down the road. Are we there yet? Not yet. Are we there yet? We got 45 more minutes left to go. That doesn't work, by the way. We tried it. They watch the clock then. The fact is, there's this waiting we have because all of the signs have happened. And so we wait. We wait. And we've waited for over almost 2,000 years. We wait. Now, on a journey, you pass road markers, and they let you know that the road is passing, that you're getting ever so excruciatingly closer to your destination. What are you left to do, really? Count the road markers? Try and check off how many more miles before you get there. But you need to be prepared. I like to look at the waiting for Jesus to return like being a kid on the front stoop of the house. Grandpa and Grandma are coming for dinner. and it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and so you're sitting there, and you're waiting. And you're watching the hill as Grandpa and Grandma will soon crest the hill, and then it's 9 o'clock. And then it's 10 o'clock. And then you go inside and get a drink of water. Talk your siblings into doing something to occupy your time. But you never leave that post on the front steps. You're waiting expectantly for the time when Grandpa and Grandma come right over the top of the hill and you can run out to greet them. That is what waiting for Christ is like. The problem is we often think we're closer to 4 o'clock and Grandpa and Grandma are going to be here right away. And it always seems like we're closer to 9 o'clock, doesn't it? The fact is, what are we left to do in the meantime? We could sit around doing nothing. Sit around and just wait. Or we can make sure we're prepared. Because at some point, at some moment, they will come. One of the great images that Jesus uses is that the kingdom of God will come like a thief in the night. It's a great image. It's a great image because wouldn't it be nice if a thief would call you up and say, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be at your house. And what would your next call be? Police department saying, yeah, I just got a call saying a thief, and then about 5:45, the police will be there waiting for the person. The fact is, Jesus is going to come at a time when we least expect it, when we least suppose that he will. And so we have really only one option, to live like the next moment could be that moment, to live as if our time to stand before our Lord could be the next moment in life. And so we have that opportunity to make sure that we are fully and completely ready and prepared for that. To make sure that whenever our moment comes, when we stand before our Lord, we aren't saying, well, it was on my calendar to be ready tomorrow. That's not an excuse. We can't just, like my little sister used to do right before the trip, at the last second when you find out Jesus is coming, you can't dump the bag on the floor and throw everything in as fast as you can, like a sausage going into the casing. You can't do that. We will all at some point stand before our Lord and must say, well, this is how I have served you. This is how I was or wasn't prepared. But Jesus has blessed us. We have many times of preparation. We have calendar seasons set aside in Advent and Lent in which we can practice making ourselves prepared. When we can take the time to prepare ourselves. Yes, it does mean we have a countdown to shopping days, and there are fewer and fewer of those left. Yes, we have a countdown to the amount of time we have left before our decorations should be up for the Christmas party. But we also have a countdown for the day when Christ arrives. Brothers and sisters, we need to take the opportunity, accept the challenge to be prepared, to prepare ourselves for our Lord's coming. Because the only one who knows the day is Him. And so all we can do is be prepared as we wait for Christ to crest the hill. As we wait for Him to come. May we be ready this Advent. Amen.